telephone rang about a quarter till nine. She heard his voice on the other end of the line. She wondered what was wrong this time. She never knew what his calls might bring. With a cowboy like him, it could be anything. And she always expected
all right. The worst. We are going to come back early. Interrupt the song. We have Fred on the line. Come on in, Fred. You want to talk to us? Get on.
Yes. Yes. Can you hear me, guys?
I can.
Okay. I'm going to be very short. Now, my worldview is a biblical view. Other words, the Word, and specifically the King James Version. And that affects everything I think and do. All right. I am really think a lot of what you said on this program, and there's a message that I've been trying to get out for 7 years, but it'll take me 30 or 40 minutes because to explain it, you know, as a caller, I don't have that time. Chris Hinckley gives me more time than anybody else. But to reiterate, my worldview is from the Bible, the Word, and that's what affects all my thinking and my actions. And I'm a Protestant.
Thank you, Fred. I too believe in the Bible. Go ahead and bring in another caller right quick.
Wait, Billy.
All right, go ahead.
One thing. Fred.
Yeah, go ahead.
By all means, Fred, write your worldview into an article and submit it to the butcher shop, and we will publish it.
Absolutely.
Okay. You got it. All right. I'll hang up and not take up a lot.
And it'll all
the
right,
butcher shop,
it'll also
is that
end
correct?
Up on the Liberty Beacon,
yes,
probably.
The butcher shop.
Yeah, yeah. And you'll end up on the Liberty Beacon, and God knows where else.
Okay, the Liberty Beacon butcher shop, is that correct?
That's correct. I'll put out.
Thank you, fellas.
Okay.
I'll talk again. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, next caller.
Hey, gentlemen. Nice to talk to you. My name's Andy, and here we are. Think about this. A while back, we heard George W. Bush say, this is just a goddamn piece of paper. And he said that in front of press and everybody. You know what I'm saying? And he's talking about the Constitution. So that should have been, now when they do this stuff and they show it on TV and you see this stuff, it's something they did, they actually mean this. And we should never take this for granted. Now think of all the other stuff they said. Think of what Donald Trump said, lock her up, all these other things. We got a whole bunch of trigger words going on here. We keep falling for the same BS every time we get in contact with an election, and we're doing it again this election. And now the biggest BS that we're doing on this November election coming up, the biggest BS is that we think that, ooh, if we elect the right people, something will change. Now, we know what insanity is. You keep doing the same damn thing over and over again, expecting different results. And that's what we believe the definition of insanity is, or at least what we're told.
So,
and then you got
Roger,
the whole,
what you got? Yeah. What do you got to say about that? I know you got to get in bed pretty quick.
Come on, Roger, let's go.
I would tell you that about 85 to 90% of what you just said is correct. I would also tell you that elections can and have made a difference. There have been times when tyranny has been controlling the country, and there has been the alleviation of a good portion of that tyranny. Has it all gone away? No, because what you said makes a lot of sense. If you give power to the government, And then you say, such as emergency powers, the emergency's over, you don't need your power anymore. You're going to find they will relinquish 90% of it and retain 10% of it. If over a period of 20 years you have 15 or 20 emergencies, you have given up a lot of your rights, you have given up a lot of your freedom, and it doesn't matter which side of the fence it is, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. It is the power that is being held over the people when, in fact, it is supposed to be the people that wield the power over our representatives. So, caller, you make sense.
So, one other point, and then I'll just get off of here. So, when we're looking at this entire food scenario that we have coming up, and you see the naivete, if you will, of all the people who have no flipping clue that they're about to be hungry, and they live in these big cities and stuff. So we're going to have this big food problem coming up here real shortly. And I'm not sure if maybe y'all can deny that. I don't know. But in my opinion,
I knew it.
Hold on, because I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that than maybe most people know. All right. Over a year ago, Biden stood up and said there will be food shortages. There will be food scarcities. What we are looking at mm-hmm. since that point and what was happening during that point is they were paying farmers to literally plow their crop under, not sell them, paying them 1.6 times the value of the crop to plow it under. They were paying farmers almost twice the value of their herds, the meat, to slaughter their herds, not to sell it, just to kill the herd. They are right now more food processing plants in the United States that have gone through destruction than in the last 20 years combined. Tell me this is a coincidence and I will call you a moron. How did Biden know over a year ago we were going to be facing food shortages today? This is not an accident.
Hey, last point I'll get off, gentlemen. Hey, Roger, talk more about that on your show on Sunday. And I love you guys. You guys are a great show.
Thank you. That's because we're with great people. Billy and Ted and Mike.
So go ahead, Roger. Talk about the Sunday show a little bit more for our callers.
Well, look, I have a show that I don't do a lot of calls, although at the half hour I do a 1 hour talk. At the half hour, I do take calls if any come in, but most people are used to just hearing me talk for an hour. I am not somebody who gets on and talks about things that are frivolous. I don't waste your time. What do we talk about? We talk about your First Amendment rights. What do we talk about? We're talking about an economy that has crashed in less than 20 months, from an economy that was probably the best on the planet to one of the worst on the planet. We talk about your inability to have sway over your own children. If you've got a child that goes to a trans day and comes home and says to his or her mother, I want to be a boy or a girl, and that's the opposite of what they are, and you say no, and they go back and tell their guidance counselor or their teacher, you could have somebody from the DOJ knocking on your door telling you you will either comply or you will lose your child. So basically what we are looking at are things that are happening in America that nobody ever thought would happen in America. This is not Republican. This is not Democrat. This is America. This is what we, the people, are suffering. What do I talk about on Sundays from noon to 1 Central Time on TLB Talk Radio? I talk about what we are seeing today that we shouldn't be seeing today. And I am always available for somebody who wishes to redress what I have to say. But if you're going to come and tell me I'm wrong, you better have done your homework, because I do mine.
Roger. It's Mike here. I have one. You got about 6 minutes, 5.5 minutes before you have to leave, right?
All you have to do is ask, Mike.
Let's hear Joe Biden talking about. Did you hear the clip of Joe Biden talking about the Nord Stream 2 and the Russian?
No.
Okay.
I haven't had a chance.
Here we go.
But I will.
It's
go
20
ahead.
Seconds. Let's hear.
Okay.
It. And then you give
sure.
us your quick take.
Oh yeah.
If Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine. again, then there will be there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
Yes, I have heard that.
But how will you do that exactly, since the project and control of the project is within Germany's control?
We will. I promise you, we'll be able to do it.
There you go. Just wanted your take on that, because that's, and I'm glad you heard it. But
yes, I thought you were telling me something else had come out, because not. Yeah, I had heard that one earlier today. Look, what we are looking at right now is we are closer to a global war than we have ever been. There were a lot of times during the Cold War when people figured we were very close to a nuclear war. Never as close as we are right now. My biggest problem here is that you are looking at a lot. We're talking millions upon millions, hundreds of millions of Europeans going through the worst winter. They can't even remember a winter like this without the gas to heat their homes. Okay, what we are looking at right now is a spark between Russia and the Western Bloc. What we are looking at is deep state America has given Europe no choice. And anybody who doesn't believe this has to understand that most likely Germany, but definitely Great Britain, is in on whatever happened over there along with the United States. Look, Russia just annexed four portions of Ukraine, okay, through an illegal referendum, and now says we own those. Those are now part of Russia, and we'll do anything we can to protect them. You are looking at tit for tat. You are looking at them poking the West in the eye, and now Zelensky says he's going to join NATO, which, what did Putin say? You join NATO, it's all over. We're coming after you big time. We are looking at a pressure cooker in the Ukraine that is about to explode. Let me end it with this, okay? In order for there to be global governance, World Economic Forum, okay? In order for there to be global governance, in order for the entire world to come under one rule, which the elites have been talking about for over 50 years, you need to accomplish two things. You need to accomplish a serious collapse of the global economy. You are looking at this happening, and what's happening in the Ukraine area will only expedite that. The second thing is, via the vaccines, you need a mass reduction of the global population. More people have died from the COVID-19 vaccine than every other vaccine in human history combined by a factor of 10. And they just launched a new booster that the government told them they only had to test on 8 mice, no human testing whatsoever. And it's based on the one that was already the most dangerous vaccine in the history of the planet. You watch, that will be mandated all across the planet, including the United States, when flu season hits. We are looking at the biggest turmoil this planet has ever seen, whether it's the approach to a global war, which I don't believe will be nuclear, it's the approach to a global war or the mass die-off from a vaccine that literally nobody is talking about today, even though scientists globally are saying the amount of people that have died from it could exceed 15 million at this point. What do I think about this? I don't think any of this is an accident. I think all of this is ordained.
Hey, I have Putin's full speech in Russian with English subtitles by a Russian posted just now. We have some World War III articles posted. Looking forward to more posts from your site. Thanks for being here, Roger.
Look, yeah, right. I appreciate you. I appreciate all Roger. Three of you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
It's a real Ted, pleasure, Roger.
Ted, look, Ted, Bill, we've got to do this again. It's just I'm going to have to readjust my bedtime at least a couple of times a month, because to me, this is a worthwhile conversation. Why is it a worthwhile conversation? Because not everybody here is supposed to think the way I do. And when we can have an intelligent conversation and come to ideas and ideals that we all can put some faith into, this is a good show.
Oh, thank you very much. You hear that, Mike, right? You hear that, right?
Oh, thank you, Roger. I look forward to those interactions. I really do.
All right, y'all have a really good night, and thank you for the time. You are appreciated.
Okay. Thanks, Roger. Good chat.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. By the way, a little notice for Fred. When you write your article, you can email it to Wilbur Like the Pig. That's WILBURLIKETHEPIG @yahoo.com. Or you can try to find me on Facebook at Wilbur Witt, WILBUR space WITT. Either way, I'll get it. And Ted and I will block and text it for you, and we will publish it in the butcher shop, which means it will go over to the TLB, Liberty Beacon, and also get the attention of the gentleman here on the RBN, saying we very definitely want to hear what you've got to say, especially about God's Word. And especially about your beliefs and stuff like that. We'll certainly get it out there for people to read your words, okay? Well, Ted, that's been a very good show so far. We have really dug in.
Well, Roger really knows how to get it started. And
he
knows how to carry through with it. So,
I shut up because I wanted him and you to talk a lot because it's a highly intelligent conversation. I want to add a couple of things, but I didn't want to slice into his time. One thing, but you mentioned about the Tea Party newspapers that called the Tea Party Tribune and the Trib up in Utah, which was a national newspaper. And I started out originally, they called up and they wanted me to join and become a writer for them. And I joined under my own name. And then I converted it to being Bill the Butcher, which I was using down in Texas. And like you said, you put up your stuff up to it, and they rejected the first one. Now, surprisingly, at the same time, Crystal Lee Larimore, who was a publisher down in Houston, put up an article, which was conservative, and they rejected her, too. And at that point, we started calling my articles the Butcher Shop. And then everybody that worked with the Butcher Shop from Texas began to send their stuff through me, and we put it up, and they started running it. And then what happened was we started on more or less the back page, and then we got one article on the front page, and then two. They had three spotlight articles on the front page. And so in a short order, for 2 years, the Butcher Shop controlled those three articles on the front page. People thought that we owned the Trib. We didn't, but we did own what was being said there. And we swung a pretty big mallet for a long, long time. And then eventually they closed up shop and everything, but I was always kind of proud of that. And, we got a lot of good things said, especially the, monkey making love to the lizard. That was a real good one there.
The frog, yeah.
And the frog, yeah. Frog. Yeah. That started was, out, ladies and
that
gentlemen.
That was a great experiment, though. That what we did. We realized there were far more conservative people on Facebook than there were liberal. In fact, I was an oddity, and so we came up with this concept of showdown at noon. And I invited people to, meet me in the street at noon, and we'd shoot it out. And so various writers would come on, and they were conservatives, and they'd write an article, and I'd respond to it. And then they'd rebut that, and then I'd rebut their rebuttal. And I began to use video and embed it in the article, and one of them was a video of a monkey violating a frog. So that's what lies behind that story.
Yeah. Do I hear a commercial coming on?
Yeah, it's another commercial.
No,
we've got some.
No commercial.
Oh, just
that's
showdown.
Theme music for Ted.
Oh! Okay.
High noon in the street.
Yeah.
I like that article. That was great. I tell you, you know what my favorite article was? In all the thousands, my favorite article was the ingrown toenail.
That was my, I love that one, but my favorite one was the unanswered knock.
That was a monster there.
In the history of your archive, that's number one in your vault. And,
that was the picture on it. People said, how
picture,
did you
that everything.
I didn't pose it. I took that picture. It's the one that gave me the idea for the article. I'm gonna tell the story real short. I won't read the article. I'd have to dig it out. But my grandson, the new baby, Stephen, Joe, who married one of my wives and really took care of us. He was three Bronze Stars with Valor, two Purple Hearts, two Silver Stars, all in one battle in Vietnam. I mean, wow, you know. And he was dying of Agent Orange. But what he would do every Christmas is he would go in his workshop and he would make toys for all the kids. And new baby was out. He died on us on May 25th, I believe, of the year. And Christmas, the new baby was out there playing in the yard and we were all sitting on the porch. And he walks over to the shop where the door was locked and he starts knocking on the shop door. And I took his picture right about then because he was knocking. And so I said, what in the world is that kid doing? And he kept knocking and knocking. I said, it's obvious. He's knocking on the door thinking Joe's in there making toys. The knock that will never be answered. And everybody went, oh, God. You know?
It was beautiful. And new baby goes to Bountiful. I mean, there are so many good articles.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
that's why people that are listening to this program really do need to read some of the Butcher Shop articles that are older. You need to go back into the archives and read those articles because some of them are beautiful. I wrote a whole series of articles on the Constitution. I it's funny sitting here talking about this. I now remember what article that was that I wrote for the Tea Party Tribune that was rejected by them. It's because here's the situation. I never wrote political articles. I just didn't do it. But I did write essays, and I wrote them for liberal websites, and that were connected to published magazines. Newsstand magazine, and I wrote an article criticizing Hillary Clinton, and I thought, well, this is probably a good way to introduce myself to the Tea Party Tribune, but what happened is it backfired in that way because. In criticizing her, I was criticizing her for taking a corporate perspective. In other words, something that she did that was serving corporate interests and not the interests of the people. And this did not sit well with the people with the money at the Tea Party because they were corporate. And so I think that's why they squashed that particular article. But, in the time that I was on Facebook, I began to learn to write political articles. And I don't think I ever really got beyond the use of a lot of poetry and allegory. And I still wrote and still do when I write the occasional political article. It doesn't look like a political article that much. It's really more of a
it's really more of a my view of a current situation that is of a political nature. So,
yeah, we the one thing we do at the book shop, we take on all writers. It's like Fred just now and everything. We invite people in, and they become a member of the group. There's about 200 of us, all under the umbrella of the butcher shop, and you'll find all kinds of things there. And we were on the agape thing that we recently got in on. We weren't the originators of that story, but we threw the full force of who we had, you know, including we got people who write for us that are literally everywhere. Poland, the Netherlands, England, Peter Eckers. Peter's like a retired James Bond. He worked for the BBC for like 40 years, and he was a part of practically every war the Middle East had since Israel was formed, you know, that kind of stuff. So we have people in all kinds of areas, and we'll come up, you know, we'll come up with facts. It's like Roger. We'll state some fact or figure or something, and people, you know, you get people with the NBC and CBS trying to plug in there and see, well, why are they saying this and prove them wrong? You can't prove us wrong because we're there. It's like the Uvalde thing. They come up with all their little ideas why that kid shot that place up. Well, we already had two guys down there in the building. You know, we had with the agape thing, and I can't use the name because I don't want to endanger the person, but they said, well, how do you know these things are going on? Because we got a snitch, you dummy.
Yeah.
We got, you know. Yeah. We got them all. We got, but the ingrown toenail, my favorite of all of them. I had an ingrown toenail, big toe on the right foot. And I was in the kitchen, and I started out with toenail clippers, and that didn't work. And then I moved up to, I eventually moved up to a pair of scissors, trying to just, you know, clip the thing off. And every time, oh, God, it was horrible, you know. The new baby came along. You notice how he plays paramount thing in this. He can I help you, Papa? I said, no. I thought, well, what harm can he do? Maybe a little different angle, you know, and everything. So he took the scissors and he latched it onto the end of the toenail. And this is an ingrown toenail, folks. Okay, it don't feel good being latched onto it at first thing. And he rotated the scissors and he pulled the toenail out by the bed.
Yeah, but that's not the real story.
No, in the article.
The real story is the photograph of the toenail.
I had a photograph of the actual toenail.
This story doesn't work without the photograph of the toenail, yeah. Billy. I'm telling you, it just
the way
like
I worked
it. Prehistoric fish. Yeah, I mean, it was.
Yeah. I kept on thinking of a medicine bottle for a long time. But anyway, when he did that, I put it in there. I said, and he then rotated the entire toenail out, and I lost three of my best hemorrhoids.
if you'd had that in the 1800s, you could in a medicine bottle, you could have charged people a nickel to look at it. That was just an incredible thing.
You know what's bad? What's bad is that was a bad toe, the bent toe after my car accident. That never did look right. That toenail was never did look right. And after he did that, it grew back good.
Well, that's true. And then that guy that wasn't a podiatrist, he worked in some kind of toenail. Anyway, one of those places you go to in the mall for a pedicure.
Yeah.
And he got a hold of another one that Billy had that was, Billy didn't want anybody coming close to it. And so he told this guy, I don't want you touching that thing. And the guy said, okay. And he goes, And he looked up and he goes, look at that girl. And Billy looked up, and when he looked up, the guy just snatched it out.
Right then.
I had a
toenail fungus, and Pam gave me these pills that she'd been taking for something. That you take one of these every Sunday, and it'll help clear that fungus in your toenail, you know. And I also had an itchy spot on my shoulder, and it went away too. And about the fifth or sixth Sunday, I was taking those things. I began to read the label, and the label said, here we go. Let's go to a commercial.
Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
California has gone completely crazy with its environmental policies. We already know that California has banned the sale of new gas-powered cars by 2035. Last week, the California Public Utility Commission voted unanimously to remove subsidies to builders who are installing gas lines for new construction starting in 2023. Also last week, the California Air Resources Board approved a proposal that would ban new gas-fueled furnaces and water heaters in homes by 2030. In short, California is now attacking clean-burning natural gas. The state that has rolling blackouts every summer and tells people not to charge their electric cars is trying to eliminate every alternative to the unreliable electric grid. California is actively trying to send itself and its residents back to the 19th century before electricity with no alternatives. Until tomorrow, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I got is just what I've got on. When that sun is high in that Texas sky, I'll be bucking at the county fair. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo, I'll be there. They took my saddle in Houston, broke my leg in Santa Fe, lost my wife and a girlfriend somewhere along the way. I'll be looking parade when they pull that gate, and I hope that judge ain't blind. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo's on my mind. Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio. What I got is mine.
Yeah, Amarillo by Morning. Hey, Ted, George. But that song was written by a man named Dale McBride from Lampasas, who was writing partners with a gentleman called Vic Quinton, who's worked with us on a project right now with a movie called Gabe. And Dale, he died of brain cancer years ago, but he left a bunch of songs that Vic has property to. And one of his songs is going to appear in the movie Gabe coming up. You were asking questions about Vic earlier. That's who Vic really is right there. You know, it's a good friend of ours. He produced a lot of my records back in Austin days and everything, and he's still there.
His public image is not clear. That's the reason I was asking you those.
Yeah. I know why. He's a very private person. Very private person. But he's out there. He's going in the studio tomorrow. Dr. Missy actually wrote a pretty good song that she wants in the movie too. And I thought, oh God, you know, I'm listening to this. And I listened to it and it was fairly good. And so I sent it to Vic and he liked it. He said it needs a bridge. It needs a chorus. She didn't write a chorus. So he's going to write a chorus for her. And we got a little lady singer down in Austin that's up and coming lady, and she's going to actually sing it in the studio, and it's going to be probably in the movie too. And everything, we're doing real good with Gabe. I think Vic has got, he said, about five more pages of the screenplay to go. And with a screenplay, one page of a screenplay equals about 1 minute of movie time. This is going to be a 2-hour movie, and so we got about 5 or 10 minutes left in the movie before it's finished and everything. And you will, when you come up here and we visit, Ted, you will meet Vic. You will meet him. And he
well, I look forward to
it. He looks just like George Strait. Okay. He looks just like him.
I don't really like George Strait very much. So,
Vic?
No, I don't. I've heard he's a bad neighbor too. So,
that's the liberal in you coming out right there. See,
yeah, I guess so. people tend to, a lot of times people listen to me and they go, well, where's the liberal in this guy? The thing is that number one, I'm not going to go out of my way to have a squabble with somebody. I'm just not going to do it. And so if I don't have all of the facts that are necessary to, you know, to counter things that other people say are true, I'm not going to respond to it. I'm not going to talk about it very much. And the other thing is that I respect other people's opinions. I just do. I don't think that what other people think about me is any of my business. And I think that that whatever, you know, I take the First Amendment a step further, and say that not only should your speech be free, but your ability to think should be free. Nobody should be subjecting you to thought control, and I'm not going to do it. That's really what broke me from Facebook and from Twitter was when I began to understand the dopamine serotonin rush dichotomy, you know, that posts are based on. And I realized what's happening here is we're subjecting one another to real live neurological damage by participating in a game where I get a dopamine rush by insulting you. And then you get a serotonin rush, you know, by being insulted by me. And then you turn around and regain, you know, some of your acetylcholine levels by attacking me. And it just goes back and forth. And once I realized that was their entire, you know, besides selling all the information they have on you and brothers and sisters. They know everything there is to know about you, but I want to I, I want to go into a little bit about what Roger was talking about.
Oh, go ahead.
I feel pretty strongly that that there isn't anybody that calls into this show. But see, in Texas, we don't have a big trans issue. Now, why is that? Is it that we don't have any trans kids? No, that's not it. Is it that our government doesn't, you know, sometimes want to do a little showboating? You know, you get a Louis Gohmert or even the governor, you know, come out and do a little showboating on passing laws against, you know, making it criminal to, you know, to provide trans drugs for, you know, for kids that are undergoing transition. Sure, there's some of that, but it's really minimal, and I'll tell you why. Never in no state is the phrase "all politics is local" more relevant than it is in Texas, and so they tend to keep a lid on their thinking about stuff like that because, you know, in Texas there is a fairly even distribution of people who aren't really liberals or conservatives. They're just people who want to live their lives, and they don't want to get caught up in all this stuff. We, the population, handle this with ourselves. And so when the American Library Association sends a bunch of drag queens down to a library to do drag queen story time with 6, 7, and 8-year-old, 9-year-old kids, well, we go in there and run them off. And it's usually handled pretty quietly. And if we handled Antifa the same way, we don't have an Antifa problem in Texas. There was going to be a big pushback at the time that all that stuff was going on in Seattle and Oregon. And so Antifa did send, or somebody sent some people identifying themselves as Antifa and kind of wearing Antifa uniforms down to Austin to mount a violent protest. And one of our militias went down there and set a couple of them on fire and ran them off. You know, so, I mean, we don't have a lot of racism in Texas, or at least the kind that you see. I mean, we certainly do, but usually it's the police that are guilty of it, not the populace. The populace pretty much gets along with one another. The conservatives and the, as long as it's not somebody who's out to make a big point, you know, like, you know, put a great big sticker on their car that says, "I'm extremely, severely, psychotically conservative, and I'll push the face in of anybody who wants to, you know, challenge my views." Well, you know, that person might wind up with 4 flat tires in the parking lot of the HEB. But essentially, we don't have a lot of people like that. And so people pass each other at a grocery store aisles or Costco or wherever they are without knowing whether they're conservatives or liberals. And you might have liberal guys in cowboy hats and boots, and you might have conservative guys who are walking around in Tommy Bahama shirts and Dan Cremieux shorts, you know, with Echo sandals. So, you know, I mean, it's just in Texas we're tolerant of one another. In most places, I must say that the big cities have gotten, it depends on what side of the city you're on, and a lot of it is more, Hispanic versus white, and white versus Hispanic. But as far as black and white people are concerned, I really do think that there's a sentiment among white people and black people that this is a shared country for us. They've been here. A lot of those bloodlines have been here longer than a lot of the white bloodlines. And so there's just a kind of a mutual respect. What do you say to that, Billy?
Yeah, I would say the exact same thing. You hear me quite often. I'll talk about the Norte Americanos, which is everybody outside of Texas, okay? And I talk about them, and we welcome everybody to come down to Texas, you know, where we don't have income tax and stuff like that. But what we don't like is when they come down and they try to impose, like they ruined California, and now they're going to bring those voting patterns over here to us. You know, they want to come for the jobs, and they want to come for the house prices and all that, but they want to bring the mental attitude that they have over there over here. It didn't work there. Maybe it'll work better over here kind of thing, and it won't work better over here. Texas was taken away during a revolution. We fought a war to form this place, and we've always had that attitude. And I've seen, like, for instance, in a custody suit where a guy up in Illinois actually had a judge's order from Illinois giving him custody of his son when his wife was down here, and he went to court and he presented his document from Illinois. And I came all the way from Illinois to pick up my son, and the judge just said, "Well, you came a long way for nothing. You're going to have to go through a Texas court. We not only don't recognize that paper, we don't even recognize your state."
That's right. We practice nullification, and we don't really have good relations with other states.
No.
And you know, the fact that we have our own electrical grid and a shadow government, along with all the apparatus that it takes to run it, set up, you know, ready to spring into action.
Yep.
Really does say it all.
Well, yeah, we got referring to the United States, that was there's Texas and it's 49 bitches, you know. I mean, we're
yeah.
We're rather bloated sometimes.
Well, you could get bloated real quick, so.
Yeah.
But I want to say too that this is, you know, you were talking about Gavin Newsom, and you know, we were discussing a couple of shows ago, I don't remember when, you know, that there was no way that Joe Biden was going to run in 2024, and it's clear that he can't. I just don't think there's any way that he can do it. Some things that he's done publicly have pretty much shown us that his ability to hang in there cognitively is going to, you know, result in, I mean, he could run and he could win, but that would guarantee us Kamala Harris as a president.
Well,
and I don't think there's a real appetite for that.
He was doing a press conference a few days ago, feverishly calling on a woman in the crowd, a senator who died.
That's what I was thinking of when you said, when I was saying that. I was thinking of that incident. And I mean, she'd been dead for what? She died of either in a car wreck or cancer.
In a car wreck.
But I perceive that, that what's going to happen is that if he runs, maybe this won't happen, but if he bows out and Kamala Harris runs, she's going to get primaried by Gavin Newsom. I think he's positioning himself to run for president of the United States. And I think that his opponent, natural opponent, will be Ron DeSantis. At first I really thought it was going to be that other guy that stole all that money from Medicare. He had been governor of Florida for a while too. I can't think of his name. Don't want to think of his name right now. I'll be honest with you, a terrible guy. He's the one that wants to get rid of Social Security, sunset all federal laws after 5 years. I mean, you know, make poor people pay, you know, high level of taxes. I thought I'd, you know, we get this guy that calls in and gives us homework assignments, and
Frank
and Frank, Frank makes us think. So I want to make you think for a minute. Do you know, Billy, who the first billionaire in America was?
Please don't tell me it was Aunt Jemima.
No. It wasn't. It was John D. Rockefeller. He was the first billionaire in the United States. Good night, darling. I love you. Now, do you know who the second billionaire in America was?
I didn't miss the person. I ain't even trying to guess. Go ahead. Uncle Ben?
Jeff Bezos. So, from John D. Rockefeller to Jeff Bezos, we didn't have any billionaires. This country just didn't have them. And it was a result of tampering with the market that began with Ronald Reagan, and it continued. It began with Reagan's administration. I'm against saying that a president, usually a president is not really all that responsible for what happens. I think it's his administration, you know, that you have to blame. I think probably Andrew Jackson Andrew Jackson might be an exception to that, but Bill Clinton stepped in. You know, Bush one was no he really didn't believe in that supply side economics, that trickle down stuff. He called it voodoo economics, you know, and so they got rid of him for that, and we got Bill Clinton instead, who believed very much in that in that sort of market strategy. And a lot of people don't know this, but when Bill Clinton left office, the U.S. government didn't owe anybody a dime.
Absolutely did not. The graph on our stock place, the graph on Wall Street looked like Mount Everest. It went so high.
And the U.S. dollar spiked. There was an unfortunate consequence in the value of the dollar outran all the other currencies by so much that it was impossible for us to get paid in dollars, which meant that other countries were just unable to buy American goods and services. We had to borrow some money to get the price of our goods and services down to where other people could afford them, but lower the value of our currency some. And so I want people to think more in terms of, I want people to stop. If I could get people to, if I had control over what other people were concerned with, they would be less concerned about what other people's religious values were, and less concerned about, you know, what their social values were, and more concerned about what their economic values were, and more concerned about what their economic objectives were. Uh-huh. And also I wish we could go back to the day when people would actually function in their local government. You remember Peter Rena?
Oh yeah. Six hamburgers for a dollar. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a poor guy. He immigrated here from Greece, was it? I think it was Greece.
Yeah.
And he had a hamburger shop. He could get six hamburgers for a dollar. Yeah. And he worked his butt off, this guy. And
Frank, we're not going to be able to take a call. We got about 3 minutes till closing time, man. You have to call in a little earlier. Sorry. Go ahead, kid. Keep talking.
But he ran for everything, from mayor to dog catcher. He never won a single office. But he ran. And he inspired other people to do it. People would discharge from the military at Fort Hood, and they'd look at Peter Rena and say, "Well, if Peter Rena can do it, I can do it." And so we began to get some people that had been a colonel or a lieutenant or a captain in the army that would make good in local politics, and Killeen started to improve And man, Killeen's a different town now than it was then. And I think that Peter Rena had a lot to do with that.
He really did. He really did. Who was that Italian guy, mafia guy from New York that had that pizza place?
Right up the road from
Peter Rena, man. And he was an old prick, boy, a New Yorker, you know. You go in there to order a pizza or a sub from him, say, yeah, I'd like a pepperoni. No, what you want is a sausage. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, it was always dark in that place. I mean, it was always dark in that place. And there was a bunch of Dixie Mafia in there all the time. And just trying to do it. And who? Binion. Anybody who remembers the name Binion. This guy owned, he and his brother owned a casino in Las Vegas and a whole bunch of silver in the cave. And this son of a gun had a used car lot in Killeen. And
so
about two or three times a month, you'd catch him down there at his used car lot in Killeen. So it was very, 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 there was, the dynamic was, is that we were a society of different people who were sharing the same land and water and air, and we were working together to keep those things usable and clean. And to some extent, that still exists. But I look around the rest of
it. Very good. You know something? Nothing for you! 1 year!
See you Monday, y'all. See you on Monday, Ted. Call you tomorrow.
Okay, I'll talk to you guys later. Mike, great choices of music. Good job.
Yeah. Yep.
Let me ask you something. When my wife's father has introduced me to stogies, what is she gonna say?
Next time, Redfield Hardcore. Keep it real. Take her up.
Good for you. Come back.
What? Good. Very good.
You know something? Not good for you. Come back. 1 year.
Conan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of their women.
You know something? Nothing for you!
Tune in next time to Redfield Hardcore. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the Rotating Sponsors banners to support RBN.
You know something? Nothing for you!
Do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.